There you go. Now you can hear me. As we think about the lesson tonight, we want to look at Luke chapter 6, verses 39 through 46. It's simply called Beams, Splinters, and Sawdust. And as we think about beams, splinters, and sawdust, we want to see what the Lord has to say about that. Now, as a kid, I know a lot about splinters, and I know a lot about sawdust. And as a young man, when I got out of high school and worked construction work, I learned about beams. So I think I know a little bit about what I'm going to share tonight, but not much, but we'll depend on God's word with the rest of it. So as you look at Luke chapter 6, beginning with verse 39, these are the words. He also told them this parable, meaning Jesus. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? A student is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. And as we think about that, as we think of that, we know that eyes are very important to see with. My mother is fighting that. She is about to go completely blind. How she got her driver's license this last time, I don't even know. But they gave it to her. She is still driving. I do know that she loves to do puzzles. And at night, she will have to take one of those helmet-type magnifying glasses and put it on in order to see the pieces to put it together. But she loves to do that. And so I began to understand the disease that she has and being not able to see. Seeing is very important. As I have gotten older, I am realizing that I have to wear glasses more and more, almost from the time I get up till the time I go to bed. And even then, in the middle of the night, if I have to get up, I even have to reach for the glasses, or I stumble. So I do know a little bit about eyes, too, as in that respect. But as we look at this, we want to break it down in this passage. In verse 39, we want to see what's blindness. One leader leading, and how does one lead the others? How does a blind person lead it? We've heard that, blind leading the blind. It's just like the blind leading the blind. Well, I feel like that many times as a minister. I feel that I am blind, and therefore I am leading other blind people. And I feel like sometimes maybe we do fall in that pit. Secondly, we see in verse 40, watch the master, the Lord himself. Not put our eyes on people. We can do that because when we do that, people will fail. People will make mistakes all the time. And no matter who you worship, who you adore, they are sometimes going to fall, and we take our eyes off of them. But when we look at God, we see that he will never. And then in verses 41 through 42, watch hypocrisy and criticisms of others. Now, there is a difference between criticizing and constructive criticism. Now, this church service that we're talking about now with this youth group, part of what we're doing with this group is as we are playing, as we do this, and as we do this service, we're going to go back and we're going to look at and see what is it we can do to improve. We know we're not perfect yet. Close, but not there. But how do we become as perfect? Now, I'm a sports freak. And right now, the Olympics are going on. So you know this is killing me to have to be here and not in front of the TV watching the Olympics. But what I have learned throughout this is these people, for 4 years, they train and they do everything that is centered around their one event. And all for one event, in most cases. If you don't win that one time, that's it for 4 years, and maybe for the rest of your life. They train and they work. And they were looking like at the swimmers. And Lockett, they asked him, what are you doing that is so much different than what you did 4 years ago in your training? He says, I'm doing things that I never did before, that I never thought that I needed to do exercises. He says, for instance, I'm flipping a 650-pound tire. And the commentary says, well, why do you do that? Don't you swim with your feet? Hello? He doesn't know much about swimming, does he? It doesn't take just feet. It takes your hands too. And he was trying to build up these muscles. And sure enough, he won. So you see, this is what we're looking at tonight. We are looking at how do we become better as they look to see the things, as they watch the tapes, as they perform their exercises, as they did the competition. How do we become better? Watch the fruit that man brings forth. This past week, we drove by hundreds of farms, blueberries, pick your own. They left one statement out for me, how much it was going to cost if I went and picked them. But it was a cost to it. But those blueberries were beautiful. And that is the whole sole purpose of them raising them, is to grow them so that they can sell them and that we can enjoy the fruits of it. And if they don't produce, they cut them down. So as we think about this tonight, beams, splinters, and sawdust, let's look at four things. First of all, spiritual blindness, darkness. Can the blind lead the blind? Look at who the blind are. Sometimes we think they're teachers, leaders, pastors. It could be anybody that we think of who are qualified. I went through seminary, but that doesn't necessarily mean I'm qualified to be a preacher. No. In my last church, we had a lady that finished high school, but she had no college education. And I made the statement one day that I thought she was probably the best Sunday school teacher we had. And they said, "What do you mean?" I mean, we've got some teachers over here that taught at the community college. Well, that's fine. But when you started looking at the actual teaching, yes, the person that had that college education and taught at the college level was also teaching Sunday school at an academic level. This lady was teaching from her heart. Which one do you want? This is what we're talking about. Who is qualified to lead? None of us are really and truly. Jesus said that the blind are those who follow, the pupils, the learner, the listener, the seeker, the child, anyone who looks up to someone else for guidance. Sports has always been a model for people. Kids have always looked up to athletes. And Dennis Rodman once made the statement, and several others, "Well, I came to play ball. I don't want anybody looking up to me." Well, whether you want to or not, when you become a star, when you could become somebody of prestige like they did in basketball, football, and some of the others, you become a role model, and kids are going to look up to you whether you want to or not. And so therefore, are you going to help lead these children that look up to you in a way that is right or a way that is wrong? And look why people are blind, both physically and spiritually. A person can be born blind. There are several people, and I admire those that are blind, especially when you see them out. The other day in a store, a lady came walking by with a dog, and I saw her coming. And naturally, I had my feet out in the aisle. And when I saw her coming, I realized she was blind because of the dog. And I brought my feet inside so that she could get by. Now, would I have done that for anybody else? No. Why? Because you can see. And if you can't see my big feet, then you need to trip over them. But she could not. So therefore, I moved them in. The dog knew they were there, and he stopped. Just a second, but when he saw me move him in, he continued on. So you see, we do have people that are born blind. They're handicapped, but not really anymore. But we also, spiritually, we can be born, and we are born blind, aren't we? We are blind because we don't know Jesus Christ as a child, as a baby. We don't know anything except what our parents have taught us. A person can be blind because of some injury. My dad, father-in-law, has just gone through that. Here he is, a woodshop teacher. He has taught the kids safety for 30-some years on how to run machines in a woodshop. First thing you're supposed to do is put on a pair of goggles, right? Guess who didn't put on a pair of goggles? Second, when you're running a saw, you do not take it while it is still running and take a stick and kick the wood out of the teeth of it or anywhere close to it. You turn it off. Guess who left it on? Took a stick and tried to knock it out of the way. And he knocked it the wrong way. It hit that saw as it was spinning, and like a bullet, it sent it right to his head, hit him in his glasses, and we have gone through four surgeries, and his eyesight is now still not where it needs to be. So you see, we can lose it by accidents, can't we? We can see things. There was a young kid when I was in Bluefield College, and I was working in a church. And I picked his brother up, and I asked him where his brother was, and he says, he can't come. And I said, why not? Because he stuck a pencil in his eye. Fortunately, it did not blind him, but think of the damages it had done. So you see, we can sustain injuries, but we can also see where we take and turn a blind eye to things. We can begin, you know, the ostrich has great eyesight, except when they stick their head in the ground, right? When they are scared and frightened and they won't see anything, they will stick their head in a hole. And how many of us will turn our eyes and not see something, and if I don't see it, then I don't know it happens. We don't see what's going on in this world today. We don't see that there are people that need Jesus Christ. A person can be blind because he wants and chooses to be in the dark. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't love the dark. And as I get older, I like it even less. Because in the dark, you can't see things. And with these glasses and the bifocals, if I don't get them just right, then it may look like it is a little closer than it really is sometimes, doesn't it? But the dark is a choice. We can have light. We can have light through Jesus Christ. And a person can choose to be blind if they want to, or they can choose to have the light. But when they do choose blindness, it leads to two tragic results. Both walk in darkness, both the leader and the follower. Being the leader does not guarantee that one walks in the light. There are pastors that are going to go to hell. That is a hard thing to believe. But when I was in seminary in Texas, we went to a church, and the pastor there was sharing his testimony. And he had a great church, a big church, had thousands of people in his services. And he was there for quite a few years, and each year hundreds of people were being baptized. But yet there was something missing in his life. He says, I couldn't put my hand on it. He says, people were getting saved, and it should have been a joyful occasion. He says, but it wasn't joyful to me. And then one day, he realized he was in darkness. He said, I never made a profession of faith. I have never invited Jesus into my heart. And here I've led hundreds of people to do the same thing that I had never done. And that day, you talking about a light lighting up, can you imagine a pastor of one of the largest churches in Fort Worth, Texas, making a profession of faith that day? And then having a guest preacher come in and baptize him after all of what he had done. So just because you're the leader doesn't mean that you're right. It doesn't mean that you're walking in light. You can be walking into the darkness. The other is stumbling into the ditch. We call it hiccups in the road, don't we? You're going down the road, life is good, and then all of a sudden what happens? Hiccup. We call Ben and Beth our kids, both son and daughter-in-law, and things were going good for them. They had two vehicles. They were carport vehicles, and they both went out at the same time. So they were skirmishing around, what are we going to do? And they began to look at vehicles, and as they looked, they realized vehicles are expensive. They said, we can't afford two new cars. We can only afford one. So he'd call me up and he says, Dad, I have looked at cars until I am sick of looking at cars. You could tell in his voice there was desperation. He was beginning to get depressed about the whole situation. And I said, son, have you prayed about it? Have you looked for God to answer your prayers? And he said, well, Dad, I'm just buying a car. I said, but son, have you looked? Have you talked to God about it? Have you searched him and asked him to show you? Well, no. I said, well, maybe you need to pray about it. Him and Beth prayed about it. The next day, they went to the next car lot. They found a good used car for half of what they were looking at in new prices. So they ended up buying that car. Naturally, I got a phone call that afternoon. Since we're halfway there, we bought a new car. Well, then he started looking for him a truck. No luck. He says, I don't have that much money to put in a used truck. So once again, I asked him, I said, have you prayed about it? Well, no. I said, well, son, maybe you ought to pray about it. Well, he has a friend, Adrian, and Adrian and his wife is going to seminary, but he had to stay down here. And he says, she's not using her car. Use this car until you can find what you're needing, and therefore you won't have a pressure on you. So he says, great. So Wednesday afternoon, he went over to their house. He picked up this car, and he had it. Thursday, there was an ad in the paper. He went and checked, and it was a truck that was in their price range. It was a good truck. Looks good. It ran good. He had his mechanic check it out, and he got a good deal on it. So you see, when we choose, we can be in darkness or we can be in light. He was in a tragic part of his life, and he tried to do it on his own, and the batteries didn't work. But when he used God's light, it worked. So you see, we can stumble into the ditch. We can make these services work, or we can stumble. It begins here. These young people have committed themselves to practicing. And let me tell you, they have busy schedules at school, far more than we had when we went to school. And to get them to get a day that's available for them to get together with some of us in here to practice is difficult sometimes. But they have committed to this. They have committed to Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. So the question becomes, are we committed with them also? And if we are, do we want to get excited about Jesus? Do we want to tell others about Jesus and let others come in and experience the same thing? So we need to see. Secondly, self-denial, dedication. As we think about that, the second rule is of the master. The disciple is not above his Lord, but shall be as his master. We will never, ever learn as much as God knows. Never. But we can. The word perfect means to complete, to mend, or to restore. In Bible times, it often means remending or repairing, restoring broken things. And we see that this is a point that is forceful. The disciple is not above his master. The disciples were very humble to Jesus. Jesus, teach us to pray. They didn't know how to pray. And so we see that we need to have self-denial. We need to take and put self aside and think about not us, as we often do. What's in it for me? I'll do this for you if you'll do this for me. Can you do this for me? Well, what's in it for me? What will I get out of it? Suppose God asked that question when he asked us to serve him. Well, if I let you serve for me, what am I going to get out of it? But Jesus said, God, Father, I'll go down there and I'll die for those people. I'm willing. I'm willing to do that. If you want me to do that, I will do it. I will set aside my kingship, my royalty, and all of the heavens and earth that I can look over and enjoy. I will give it all up and come down on this old messy, dirty, nasty earth, and I'll die for these people. And what did he get out of it? Dying on the cross is not anything worth dying for, is it? But he died for us. And so therefore, what we get out of it is everlasting life. But he wants us to study. He wants us to grow. And we cannot grow if we're not in the Lord. So we need to put self aside. Thirdly, criticism, hypocrisy. The third rule is to watch and not to criticize of others. We have that. We mentioned that this morning in the services. We talked about those things. But we need to realize both persons, the one being criticized and the criticizers, have a problem. We need to learn not to let things get to us as much. When people pick on us, when they call us, when I was at Bluefield College, we took the old president's home and we moved into the old president's home there. And the group that lived there was a bunch of guys, and all of us were going into the ministry. And so naturally, they became known as the religious fanatics. We were also called the Sanhedrin, which we adopted. And even to this day, we still talk about the Sanhedrin, us religious guys that were in that house together. But you know, we could have taken that criticism and it could have killed us. We could have dropped out of the ministry. But instead, we took that criticism. And what was so funny is some of those today that criticized us and called us religious fanatics are now ministers in the ministry. And I get to put on Facebook, remember when you called us the Sanhedrin? And I get back, shut up. We learn that we can take criticism through Jesus Christ. But more important of all, we don't need to give it. We like to look at other people, don't we? Let me take the speck out of your eye. Here's what you're doing wrong. Let me tell you what you're doing wrong. Well, folks, how can you see the speck in somebody's eye when there's a beam sitting in your eye? And this is what God is saying. We need to get the beam out of our own eye before we can even begin to think about looking at the dust in someone else's. So we need not to criticize. 2 Peter 1:19 says, "But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." Now, one of the things that I cannot stand about my wife, you've heard these on these different reality shows, but one thing that I cannot stand about my wife is simply this. She wears contacts. I cannot stand to watch her put them things in her eyes and take them out. I cannot stand it. My eyes begin to water, and I've learned that when she reaches up there to grab that little container, I just walk out. I don't even want to near it. And if she begins to do one of these numbers and I see a finger go up to one of her eyes, I'm looking the other way because I know she's getting ready to take it out. And I can't stand to see somebody take and put something in their eye. So you see, we have to get the speck, the beam, out of our eyes before we can even think about somebody else's. And then finally, the last thing we need to see is fruit bearing. Words and tongues. Watch the fruit that a man brings forth. Every tree is known by its fruit, by its nature. Now today we have people that like to do this, what they call grafting. They like to take a little of this and a little of that and put it together. And we have different types of foods. I grew up on apples and oranges, bananas and grapes. Today we've got mangoes and kiwis, and they got all these other things that you've never heard of before. And we see that what is happening is that people are trying to raise crops. We are no different as a church. We are here today to bear fruit. That is our job, to bear fruit. That is what God has given each one of us the opportunity to do, to bear fruit to others and to make fruit. That is what it's all about, sharing with one another. And yet, I feel that as Protestants, we have failed on that. We are not. We cannot tell someone about Jesus if we're not living in ourselves, can we? My dad used to try to teach me. Some things he taught. Other things he says, watch me do this. And then there are times I watched my dad when he didn't tell me to watch. And then when I did it, he'd say, "Who taught you that?" And I'd look at him and I said, "You did." Dad learned real quick, monkey see, monkey do. And anything my dad did, I was going to do too, because I worshiped my dad. I loved my dad. I wanted to be just like my dad. And if he did something that was wrong, I was going to do it too, because I watched him. Folks, Jesus has set an example for us. He has set the example. And in sports term, he has set the bar for us. And today, our challenge is to bear fruit, to share. As I said before, they're not going to be up here forever. There are going to be colleges to go to, boyfriends, girlfriends, eventually marriage. And then we hope they come back and stay here. But if they don't, like so many don't sometimes, what's going to happen? What about Sunday school teachers? What about children's workers, preschool workers? Somebody has got to do that. And as we get older, who is going to take our places? Are we content to lock in them doors
and never unlocking them again, to put a for sale sign across the door, band up the windows with plywood. Are we content with that? Or do we want to see this church be a lighthouse in this community? If it is, then we have to bear fruit, and we have to keep sharing with people and bringing people and using the gifts that we've talked about. And every man produces what is in their hearts. My brother-in-law doesn't have many things that he does, but he has one thing he does well. He loves trains. And he has built, and I was able to see some of the things. He is leaving today to go up to Michigan on a tour with trains. And you know, you've seen them. It's not just where they put the tracks down, but they've got the buildings and all of the. He puts all of that stuff together. Even the itty bitty. I learned things that I never knew about that before. I thought you bought this stuff like that. He said, like on the bricks, he says, you get a red piece of paper that's the same color as the bricks, but the mortars he has to actually paint on there. Tedious type of work. How long would that last with me? I say, not long. I don't have that attention span. He does. He can do that little tedious work. He can put a magnifying glass on and do all of that and do a magnificent job with it. Some can preach, some can sing, some can share and do it fantastic. But all of us can do what he's called us to do. So as we think about it this morning, this evening, Matthew 12:34, he says, "You brood of vipers, how can you all evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And today, that's what we need to think about. What our hearts is what we think about. Where our heart is where we're at. If it's all on money, that's what we're always going to look at. If it's to raise and grow up and get a house and this beautiful mansion. My niece was talking about her perfect home. I've never yet seen a perfect home. I've seen one I've enjoyed, but never the perfect home. And then she went on and said, and we have found the perfect land, but we can't buy it. And I thought, well, it isn't too perfect then, is it? Folks, we're not going to be perfect. But we are perfect in Jesus Christ. And with Him, all things are possible. So how's your spiritual vision? Are you learning or leading and following others blindly? Are you focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? Are you constantly watching for hypocrisy, criticism? Are you honestly looking at the results of fruits of your lives? One of the most favorite men in my life, Howard Pilkey, invested his time with me. When I came back to the Lord, when I got out of the Navy, I went back to church, and Mr. Pilkey would take me under his wings. He convinced me to take some witnessing classes that the church was offering. I took those. He taught them. And part of what we had to do was, after we learned the four spiritual laws, we were supposed to go out and to share the four spiritual laws. Just so happens, somehow or another, by luck, by chance, if you want to believe in that, guess who my partner was? Mr. Pilkey. It wasn't by accident. It wasn't by luck. God put us together for a purpose. And I went out with him, and he showed me how to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, how to pray with others, how to talk with others. When I went to seminary, I had a professor, Dr. Roy Fish, and he began to take what Howard Pilkey had started within me and build upon that. And I took evangelism classes. And at Southeastern, I continued on with Delos Miles. And he taught me more and more about evangelism and about the love of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so you see, there are people that have led me through my journey. There are people that have led you in your journey. It is now time for us to lead others in their journey. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us, this opportunity, this wonderful day. And now we thank you for the music that we've had, Lord, the words that were spoken. Father, as we try to imagine what it would be like in heaven with you, Father, that's nice to know. But Father, help us what it would be like to share the gospel of Jesus Christ to others, to bear fruit, and to see that fruit is being raised in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege and honor to worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.